Money is a tool. Financial literacy is a skill you can learn. My name is Dave Gallegos. I've spent the last 25 years in the mortgage industry with a front row seat to American financial habits. And what I have to offer is so much more than about mortgages. So join me for a journey into financial literacy, brought to you by me and Zenith Home Loans. I'm your host, Dave Gallegos. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of More Than Mortgage. I'm Dave Gallegos, your host. I'm really excited today to talk about an area on our fundamentals. So I'd say there's five fundamentals of financial balance: your credit, your spending, your debt, your saving, and your investing. And today we're going to be talking about spending. Today's subject matter is spending. We talked about the last episode, why this is such an important part of your life, because you need to become a homeowner to create financial independence and generational wealth for your family. I believe that with all of my heart. It is one of the best things that you can do for your family and will make a huge difference in so many different areas of your life. But that said, the first thing that you have to be able to do, I am not an advocate for everybody should buy a house. I'm an advocate for everybody to get themselves in the best position financially possible so that they're ready to buy a house. And you can do it, and you can do it quickly if you decide that you're going to really focus on it and take the steps that are necessary. One of the biggest areas that we have for why people struggle to become homeowners or struggle once they do become homeowners is because we just don't do a good job of managing our spending, which means we just don't track our spending. And there's a lot of reasons for this, in my opinion. There's many reasons that this is challenging for people. And I think probably the biggest one is that America is we're a consuming nation, right? Like, we're all about consumption. A lot of people are all about consumption. And that's a dangerous thing. I myself struggled with this concept early on. I think I've shared in the past that I was very driven by making a lot of money. And I think the reason that I wanted to make a lot of money was because of the stuff, right? Like, I wanted to live in a big fancy house, and I wanted to drive fancy cars, and I wanted to go on fancy trips. But I never really thought about building wealth. I really only thought about having stuff. And you know, it takes a little bit of while, but you do get to a point. Ideally, you come to a point, and I did, and I'm not sure exactly at what age I was when I realized the stuff wasn't really important if you're a slave to all of that stuff because you're trying to make payments on everything. And tracking your spending is one of the ways that you have to, like, stop what you're doing and take a look at what's really going on. If you aren't a homeowner yet and you struggle with one of the areas is affordability, right? Everybody says, oh, it's more expensive to buy a home than it's ever been. Yeah, it is more expensive. I just talked about it on the last episode, how home prices increased 5% from 22 to 23. So a $500,000 house in 22 is 525 in 23, and it's never going back to 500, right? In 24, if that trend continues, the 525 house is going to cost $555,000 in 2024. So it isn't going to get any cheaper. So that's why it behooves you to get your financial life under control. And that, in my mind, that starts with really getting a handle on your spending. So the first area is your credit, managing your credit, paying all your bills on time, and then taking a look at where you're spending money. Because if you have debt that you can't pay off, that's a function of spending more money than you make. So that's why spending is the next category. How do you do this? How do you keep track? Like, how do you measure? And it just comes down to, you got to start keeping track. You got to start writing it down. You got to start measuring. So I've told the story, and I'll tell it again, where both of my two older kids, when they worked for me, and they both made comments at a time when I don't recall the years or anything now, but I mean, they made comments to me along the lines of, there's no way I'm going to be able to afford to buy a house. Well, I knew that wasn't true because I knew how much they were making, and I knew they didn't have much, they shouldn't have had that much debt. And so it just was simply a function of how much money were they spending. And so now at the time, and I've never actually told them this, so if they're listening to this, they'll know now, but I still had access to their checking accounts, and I could see what they're, this is when they're in their 20s, and I could see what they were spending their money on every month. And I downloaded their spending. I didn't have access to their credit card statements, so I didn't know what that was like, but I knew what their checking account statements were. And it was, It was astounding how much they were spending for a couple of kids that really didn't have any other obligations. Neither one of them were married. They didn't have any children. They're just spending money like, well, spending money, buying this, buying that, going this, going that, trips, everything else. I think what's happened to us and what I've noticed generationally, and I know this is going to make me sound like an old boomer who looks back at what the kids are doing today and thinking that they're making all these mistakes, but that's not it at all. I want you to pay attention to a couple of things that are really important. So the world has created many, many more ways for us to spend money than I had. So there were still plenty of ways for me to spend money, but I didn't make the kind of money that I could afford to spend a lot of it anyway. So I'm going to use the telephones as an example. I'm going to use this contraption that we have here, these phones. In my day, when I was in my 20s, there was no mobile phone, right? That wasn't a thing. So you just had a landline in your house, and it was attached to a wall, and it had a cord, and you couldn't walk around. They had wireless phones. I guess we were starting to get wireless phones, so you could walk around the house and talk on your phone. You couldn't get too far away from that base set. Yeah, but for the most part, that was it. And that was the phone service, and the phone was kind of expensive before they deregulated the phone industry, and then all of there was competition for who could be your phone carrier. And I think all of that led to the wireless phone business that we find ourselves in today. But look at what that's become. Look at how much money you're spending on a monthly basis to have access to that phone, to have everything that phone does. And it's a great tool. One could argue that it's like destroyed relationships and we're distracted too often, and people texting and driving and talking on their phone while driving is not all. There's a bunch of reasons a bunch of things about it that aren't good. Maybe kids are getting them too young, social media, all of that stuff. That's not what this discussion's about. This discussion's about how much it costs. I think for most people, they're spending up $100 to $200 to $300 a month on these phones, and they are become addicted to, and Apple and Samsung and all of these companies keep coming up with new models, new and better, and you got to have the latest. And so people just keep upgrading them, and they keep spending more and more money on them. Like, this is an area of spending that we never had. And some people say like, well, you have to have that now. It's like, yeah, you do, but you don't have to have a new phone every year, right? Like, you don't have to get the new model year in and year out. And there's a bunch of things. It isn't just the phone. Now you're having apps on your phone, and some of them you're paying for. And it's just everybody's figuring out, if you notice that everything that you do now is like a subscription, you can't just, it's really difficult to just buy something once without being offered the chance to subscribe to it and just buy repeatedly and repeatedly. It's great marketing, but it's expensive, and it's more and more spending. So that's one of the areas that I think is really important. Cars cost what they cost. Insurance costs what it costs. Paying rent costs what it's cost. It's everything outside of that. It's what are you doing for the discretionary spending? Because I think that stuff's non-discretionary. This is a little non-discretionary, but the question is, can you ask yourself, can you cut back on the fees and what you're paying and everything else? Do you shop around? Do you see where are the areas that I can save when it comes to using my phone? But let's talk about the discretionary spending. And this is talking about entertainment and diet and travel, right? Those are discretionary things, because if they're not work-related, it's discretionary. You get to spend as much money as you want. So what do you do for when you're dining out? What I think is a lot of people have become a lot more addicted to is eating out on a much more regular basis. And I had a guy that was working for me once. His name was Mike Hazell. When Mike did this analysis that I asked him to do, he found out he was spending hundreds of dollars a month at Chipotle, eating out at Chipotle, hundreds. Like, it was, I don't remember what the number was, but I remember it shocked him. And I remember he started not eating at Chipotle as much. $10, $10, $12, $15 for lunch. It doesn't seem like that much, and it's not that much, but it adds up fast, man. So you're talking about 2 weeks worth of groceries for lunch, right? Like, so the dining out that people do today is ridiculous. And now you've added DoorDash, you've added all these other fees. So now you're paying $8 delivery, or 10 or 12. I've actually never used DoorDash. So I don't know how much it costs, but you're paying $8, $10, $12 to get an order delivered to you because you don't want to drive to get your fast food. That's crazy to me that you would, first of all, you're buying fast food, it's garbage, you're eating garbage, and then you're spending excessive amounts of money on your garbage, and then you're paying somebody to have it delivered for you. Think about all of those things that happened that added to the cost of things. Because honestly, going out to eat used to be a luxury, and today it's almost like a necessity. And just look at all the restaurant choices that are out there. Look at all the fast casual, and then the fast foods, and then all the restaurants. And like, you can hardly get into a restaurant today without like, hey, you're going to wait. It's dinner time. If it's a halfway decent restaurant, there's a line. So everybody's eating out way more than they used to. And that's a big spending category for a lot of people I know. So dining and then entertainment. How often are you going out with all of your friends, and what are you doing, and how are you doing it? I just think that this is an area that a lot of people don't realize that they spend excessively. And I know that for my son, Donnie, when I had him do his analysis where he went back and he looked at all the spending, he's like, yeah, Dad, I didn't even realize, like, it's no big deal to just throw my credit card and say, I got the next round. And then like, that's a $120 round of drinks for your friends at a bar. Cause at a decent bar, a drink isn't $7, it's $15, right? So it's this stuff can get pretty spendy. And if without tracking and without measuring, then you have no way of knowing. And that's where the budgeting stuff starts to fall in, starts to become something that people need to get better at. So now let's talk about travel. I know that I see kids taking trips today that, man, I would have loved to have taken trips. When I say kids, I'm talking about people in their 20s and people in their 30s. And if you're making plenty of money and you can afford this and you've got a house and you're saving your money and you're not going into debt to do these things, then by all means, knock yourself out as long as you're saving the money that you know you shouldn't be saving. If you're carrying unsecured debt, debt that you can't pay off, it's like on a credit card, and you find yourself booking another trip to go somewhere, then you know you might have a problem here. That's how you know you might have a problem. So the trips that people take today are astounding to me compared to the kind of trips that we would take when we were younger. And I always go back to my parents. And again, my parents from a different era. My mom and dad got married in 1955. My mom and dad were married for 25 years before the two of them took a real vacation away without the kids, right? So we took some vacations growing up when I was a kid, but we never took like, we never went to Hawaii as a family. And my dad made a decent living, but we had six kids and five brothers and sisters I have. And we all went to Catholic schools and Catholic high schools and grade schools, high schools and colleges. And my dad, my mom stayed home. My dad sacrificed. My mom used to do some side work, ironing clothes for people. And my dad used to keep books on the side. People sacrificed. My family, you know, it was a different time and a different era. And I get that. But my mom and dad didn't take their first vacation away to someplace exotic until they had been married for 25 years. So from 1955 until 1980, they never took a trip together like that. And in 1980, they went to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and for a week. And that was really cool. I was like, well, my parents, I was 20 years old when they went and took that trip. So I just remember thinking, wow, that's pretty impressive. Because honestly, I'm right there with you. It's like, I feel like I have to take a trip like that at least once a year now. And so our tastes have changed. And there's an old adage that's a luxury once experienced becomes a necessity. So when you have those trips and I'm doing this all the time, now it's something that I have to do. And you feel like you're obligated to do it, or you feel like you're owed it somehow. And like I said, if you've got the money and you've got the time, by all means go. You've got all the rest of your financial life dialed in, then absolutely take those trips. But if you don't, if you're borrowing, meaning you're putting this on a credit card and then you're doing it, then you know you have a problem. Something that's called, it's come in the last couple, 3 years, something that's called the buy now, pay later system, where like if you go to Amazon or you buy something, almost any consumer-based website where you're buying a product that is getting sent to your house, you're going to be offered the opportunity to pay over time. And where you can make, you know, $6 a month payments for, you know, 18 months or whatever it is. And nobody's being disclosed as to how much this is really costing. And something that just came out that over the holidays, the use of buy now and pay later loans hit an all-time high. Because make no mistake, these are loans, people. The lenders generally don't report to the major credit reporting companies, so it's hard to know exactly how much of this debt is currently out there. And these loans are really hard to keep track of for consumers because they can, which is going to turn into debt problems. So the use over the holidays of installment payments hit an all-time high, and they were up 14% year over year. It's one of the fastest growing categories in consumer finance. It's phantom debt. It's not being reported anywhere. So this is scary. And then one statistic that's that, because right now credit card rates are north of 20%, right? So more and more people are using these systems, and they're not being, because it's not being disclosed to you what you're going to be paying. 43% of those loans have had a payment paid late to them in the last 90 days, I think is what we heard. So the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau is going to start getting involved in this subject. And so watch it. But the fact that it's even becoming a thing, the fact that buy now, pay later is a thing, just gives you a sense of how addicted to spending we are as consumers and as American consumers. And if you want to be a successful homeowner, this is an area, even if you are already a successful homeowner, if you want to be a successful homeowner, this is an area that you've really got to address in your life. It's critical that you do. I have one more story about how people spend money, and it's a common theme. It comes up all the time. Starbucks coffee, right? That Starbucks coffee wasn't even a business when I was growing up. And when I was in my 20s and in my 30s, I don't know when the first Starbucks opened. But today, you know, they're everywhere. The joke is a Starbucks opened a new Starbucks inside one of their Starbucks locations today. That's how many Starbucks locations there are out there. It's a joke. But my wife is a Starbucks drinker. I'm not. I don't like the taste of the coffee. I do like a good cappuccino every now and then, but I like to go to the independent coffee shops, but rarely. I mean, I'm talking once a week, maybe once or maybe twice a week. If that, it's usually because I'm meeting somebody. This isn't like, oh, I got to stop and get my coffee type of a coffee buy for me. But I get it. It's something that we've all grown used to, and it's part of our culture now. It's in the society. We meet people for coffee and we get an expensive cup of coffee. My wife gets a mocha. And a tall mocha, I did the math because of how much I did the ounces, because I'm sitting, because I'm obsessed about this stuff. And I just did the math. When I divided, you take how many ounces is in a tall or a grande drink. And I can't remember the exact math. All I remember is figure out how much is a gallon. You take the dollar, you know, how much you're getting, how many ounces are in a gallon, so you know what you're paying per ounce, so that you can figure out what per ounce times 128 ounces is. And it really comes down to, it's about $50 a gallon for a drink like that. Not a drip coffee, but your average cup of coffee at Starbucks runs you about $50 a gallon, people. Come on. $50 a gallon for a drink. Now, I'm not arguing that Starbucks is some kind of an evil corporation. It's a very nice business that they have there. It's a wonderful business. I admire the company greatly. But I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you. This is for all of you who are spending, and either you feel like your spending is a little out of control, or you want to get yourself into a situation where you can buy a home, and you know that getting rid of debt is going to be the thing that you do, that affordability is the issue. Well, it really comes down to you having a handle on how much money you are spending every single month. And there's only one way that you can figure that out, and that is to download the data every single month and categorize all your spending and see where it's going. So you have to, if you use a checking account, you can, every checking account, every bank will have the ability for you to download, you know, from the first of the month to the 31st of the month, what all your spending was. And you're going to have to go out, you're going to put it on a spreadsheet, and then just categorize everything and figure out what was groceries, what was dining, what was gas, what was insurance. It doesn't matter what it is. It matters what you did. It matters. Then what matters is the number. And so you've got to take your credit card statements and you got to do the same thing. Where did you spend? Because you make what you make, right? So the reason our government is in such bad shape is because they take in X number of dollars in the form of tax revenue. They spend a lot more than that in the form of all the spending for all the entitlements, for defense, for everything that the government, everything that we expect the government to pay for us, right? And so that's it. It really just comes down to, do you spend more than you make? And the only way to find out is to keep track of your spending. Now, my advice is for you to go back 90 days. 90 days is usually a pretty good sample, and see what you spent your money on. So go pull the data and then do the same thing on whatever credit cards you're using, wherever you spent money, and just track it. And then add it all up and then figure out what it is, and then take that against your take-home pay. Figure out what your take-home pay is. You're going to find a lot of areas. It's an eye-opening experience. The first thing you're going to figure out is that you can cut back a lot. Probably the two key areas that you're going to cut back is entertaining, going out and partying with your buddies and friends, and going to the, you know, sitting and going and having a 4-hour brunch on a Sunday with a bunch of your friends, like you're going to start to figure out that that's really expensive. And then dining out. Those are probably going to be the two biggest areas where you're frittering money away and you don't really even count it in your spending. But it just, man, it's $100 here. It's $100 there. It's $20 for lunch, $15 for a cup of coffee. All of it's going to start to add up and you're going to start to realize that, wow, there's some spending cutbacks that you can do. There's no shortcut here, right? It really just comes down to if you found yourself in a situation where you have more unsecured debt on a credit card, you have a credit card balance you can't pay off, then you're simply spending more than you make. If you're carrying car loans and everything else, and it comes down to America as a society, we love to spend, man. We love to have our stuff. We love to have new cars. We love to have new clothes. We just love new and we love taking our trips and we love eating out and nobody wants to feel like they're poor and nobody wants to feel like, so they just keep spending. And, but you're digging yourself a hole that you're going to have a really hard time getting. I tell you, we could do a dozen podcast episodes on this subject alone on your spending. So what I really want you to do is I really want you to focus on getting in there and doing the work to figure out where all your spending is going and keeping categorized. And then you'll find areas that in your life that you can cut back on the spending. So that's my advice today. That's today's episode of episode number 8 of More Than Mortgages. I hope that you found this helpful and I hope I've inspired you to download that data and categorize your spending and keep track of it, because saving money, you're going to feel so much better when that debt goes away, but it starts with you spending less than you make. That's how you're going to come up with the excess capital that you need to get rid of that debt. Thanks for listening, everybody. Please like this episode. Please share it if you found value and I really appreciate it, and have an awesome day.
Thank you for listening to More Than Mortgage with Dave Gallegos, brought to you by Zenith Home Loans. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe anywhere you find podcasts and share this episode with a colleague who would also find value.